Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Muskies Matters with Lakeland University head football coach Colin Bruton. Muskies Matters is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Lakeland coach questions about the Muskies, football or sports in general, or just seek the coach's wisdom about life events that are going on out there. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about that exciting victory over Benedictine last week. We learn if he thinks that he's a romantic guy or not. And we learn how cool the coach would look if he was riding a red Vespa. So let's join Muskies Matters.
So let's welcome back Coach Bruton. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
We got senior day this week, so it's a chance to honor 12 seniors that have really given a lot to our program the last 4 years, and we're excited about that. And obviously, we got a huge test. You're coming in 8-0, and they have a chance to clinch the conference championship this week. So that's obviously a big motivating factor for us. You know, we're not looking to let anybody clinch on our field and be able to celebrate. But they're a really good football team. It's going to be a heck of a test.
Well, let's start with last week's game from you. Quite a contest. I was wondering afterward if you needed to have your blood pressure checked after the way that score went.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that thing was going to end. I looked down at my watch at one point and saw how long, you know, the game was going in actual time, and it just felt like it wasn't going to end. I think, you know, Benedictine played really hard, and I thought we competed. And obviously, when there's 94 points scored, there's a lot of stoppages and a lot of back and forth and ups and downs. So it was a really exciting game for the fans, for the people there, and just happy that we were able to pull that one out. I thought we did a lot of good things, and we're getting better as a team, and I thought it was a real team win. I thought both sides of the ball made you know, a lot of good things happen.
A lot of big plays in that contest for you, but let's talk about that interception with 25 seconds left. Watching that, it looks like, I understand that even if Benedictine scores, they're still going to be behind by three, but that looked like a play that your team just embraced, and I was wondering if that's the kind of thing you rally on heading down the stretch here.
Yeah, it was really cool. You know, one of the things we talked about kind of in my pregame talk with the team was that, you know, somebody was going to make a play in the game that we didn't expect. You know, there was going to be somebody that was going to have to step up that probably wasn't expected to play a huge role. And it happened for numerous guys on Saturday, which was really awesome. But the kid that made the interception was Drew Cardell. He's a freshman that, you know, coming into Saturday has probably played about, you know, 15 snaps all year, you know, and then was kind of thrust into a role. So our starting free safety, Jonathan Haggerty, was ruled out with an injury about an hour and a half before kickoff. So he was kind of a true game day decision, and he got ruled out. So as a result, Trey Smith moved from our dime position now to our free safety, and then Andrew got a chance to play for really the first time all year. So a guy that really had, you know, very limited playing experiences in there, and, you know, probably played 30 or 40 snaps for us in our dime package. Like I said, we played 94 snaps on defense, and for him to go up, you know, as a freshman and make that play and really high point the ball, and you can see the excitement our team had for him. You know, a kid that, as a freshman, like I said, hasn't really played, hasn't even played a lot on special teams, but just continued to work, and he's gotten a ton better throughout the year, and really played hard on Saturday and did a lot of good things, but then to finish it with that play, you could just tell on the sidelines how excited our guys were, obviously for the win and a little bit of relief to not have to worry about an onside kick and all that kind of stuff, but just happy for him and happy for the work that he put in. It was really, really cool to see.
349 yards rushing 2 weeks ago, 495 this last week. Your offensive line must be loving just wearing down these defenses.
Yeah, we're running the ball really effectively, and, you know, again, we challenged the offensive line this week. You know, we're a little different offense with Tez at quarterback. He's such a threat running the ball, probably doesn't throw it as consistently as we'd like right now, but really a threat running the football. And, you know, we've kind of altered our scheme a little bit offensively. You know, we've gone to a little more of a run first, a run heavy offense, and keeping teams honest with our read game. So we're reading different defenders, and Tez is making us right with his reads. But our offensive line is really playing well. You know, I think on the right side, we're playing a couple freshmen, and they've gotten a lot better. But our left side was really dominant. You know, Ryan Frame, our left tackle, is a senior. Now we got two juniors, you know, Steve Reagan at left guard and Jonah Carlson at center. And those three guys were really dominant. You know, it was cool to see when you watch on film and you see the number of pancakes and things like that. It was really cool. So those guys are playing a lot better. They're taking a ton more pride in it. And I think just as a unit, they're getting better. And that's the cool thing to see. You know, we run a zone scheme, so much of it relies on those guys working together and working together with their double teams and knowing when they got to get to the next level and things like that. And you can see we're just playing better as a unit.
Who were your players of the game?
Yeah, it was a lot of them. You know, when it became like that, you know, offensively, Larry Rivers was really good. He had about 160 in the first half. Didn't really play much in the second half. He had a little bit of a groin tweak, so he was kind of out of the lineup. And Dez Eddy, is kind of the guy that our jack of all trades. He suffered an ankle injury on Thursday at practice, kind of a real freak thing. So he missed the game. And as a result, we talked about last week about seniors that haven't played a ton that have stuck around the program and continue to work. And one of those guys was Michael Moreau. And Michael came in second carry, rips off about a 40-yard touchdown, and he had ripped off another long run and, went over 100 yards for the first time in his career, which was awesome to see. And one of the guys that we talked about, like I said, pregame, part of my talk to the team was that somebody's going to step up and make a play. And, one of the guys I mentioned was, a guy like Michael Moreau, is going to be called on to carry the ball at some point today. And, it was kind of cool to see it come true. Sometimes as a coach, you're talking and you're giving a pregame talk and you think it could happen, but you don't really know. And he made me look really smart, which was cool. But I thought offensively he was outstanding, went over 100 yards, gave us a huge burst. You see when he scores the first touchdown, how excited our guys are again for him. And our sideline just responded, and it gave us a huge boost. So I thought offensively he was really good. I thought defensively we had a number of guys play well. I thought Rayshon Brumfield, the corner, played really well. Played against their top receiver quite a bit and did a nice job. And then Deontay Moses had 15 tackles and was kind of all over the field and just playing like he normally does, playing hard, playing fast. I thought he was really good. Special teams wise, again, we're struggling. I don't know if we had a player of the game in special teams. Our kicking game is a mess, to be quite honest, and we haven't quite figured it out all year. And in the offseason we really got to work to correct. But I don't know if we had really a special teams player of the game. We benefited from a bad punt snap. We were able to block a punt because of a bad punt snap, and that was a big play in the game. But outside of that, we lost the special teams battle pretty consistently on Saturday, and a lot of that is just due to our kicking game has been really poor, and that's something that we got to correct in the offseason.
I do just want to correct one thing, though, is that made you look even smarter, because we know that you're always smart. So I just want to add that part out there.
We're trying. Every once in a while, they make me look good. So
this week, you take on Eureka. They come in undefeated. Are you surprised at how well this team is playing, and what do you do to stop them?
Yeah, it's a team that we didn't know a ton about coming into the league. Knew the league they came from, and that's a league that's similar to the NAC. I think when they rank the conferences nationally, the NAC, our league, and the UMAC, where Eureka came from, are two of the less respected leagues across the country. So didn't know a ton about Eureka. Thought they were a team that was going to come in and be competitive in our league. To be quite honest, I did not expect them to be this good. But the more we've seen them on film, and as the season goes on, when you're playing conference opponents, you see the opposing teams on film quite a bit. So even before this game, we'd seen Eureka on film a number of times and just been really impressed with them. And obviously with them, it starts with their running back, and he's really special. I think he's as good a back as there is in the country. He's leading the country, I think, in yards, leading the country in touchdowns. He's just a beast trying to tackle. So that's been a huge focus, is trying to tackle number 25. And he's special, and that's the key, I think, when you look at a team like this is – we gotta make plays in the run game. We gotta make sure that his 6-yard runs don't become 60-yard runs, and it starts with controlling the line of scrimmage, and then it starts with tackling. We have to gang tackle, we have to get hats to the football, and we gotta wrap and run, and get him to the ground. He's a really special back, and he's been gone over 200 the last 4 weeks. He was over 300 last week. Like I said, he's got 20 touchdowns the last 4 weeks. So he's the key. I think. The one thing that Eureka hasn't done is they haven't played from behind in the second half this year. Last week they got tested for really the first time, and they did come back from a one-score game in the second half, but they haven't gotten in a situation where they haven't been able to run the football because of time and score. And we feel like if we can get them in that situation, we can match up pretty good. But they're really good. They're running the ball in about 80% of their snaps, which not a lot of teams now are doing, and they're just a real problem trying to stop their run game. And defensively, they're good. They're a lot like us. They play a ton of man coverage. So they're going to get up and challenge our receivers. They're going to get up and play with a pretty heavy box, usually a 6-man box, which is a little different than what we normally see. And we're going to have to find ways to run the football. We know that. you know, and then see what we can do in the passing game and see if we can take some shots against them in the passing game. But they're a really good football team. You know, they've won 16 straight regular season games, and it's going to be as big a test as we've had within the conference in a long time.
You know, I'm curious, you talked a little bit about Anthony Riesenhofer, and he is a complete beast. I completely get that. But I think a lot of teams come in with the approach thinking, wow, we really got to try to shut this guy down if we're going to have any opportunity to win here. Your offense is really rolling over the last couple of weeks. Do you feel like, while you want to stop him, if he has a big day, there's no reason to believe that you guys can't have a big day as well?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, you know, stopping him is, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean you hold him to 150 yards? Does that mean you hold him to 200 yards? You know, for me, it's the big plays. It's, you know, if he gains 200 yards, but he does it on 30 or 35 carries, and we limit him, you know, breaking the 50 and 60-yard run, I think we're going to be fine. You know, very, very similar, I think, to when we played Lance Moyes from Concordia Chicago earlier in the year, and I think he went for a little over 200, but we honestly felt like defensively we did a decent job against them, and we limited the other guys in that. But, yeah, I mean, I think offensively we're going to score. We feel pretty good about where we're at offensively, and again, it's, you know, can we limit his big plays, limit his scoring opportunities, even if he gets the yards in between the 20, and then offensively, can we control the game on that side of the ball? And we think we can. You know, they're a defense that's very good, but has given up some points. You know, last week, Concordia, Wisconsin put up 45 points against them, and, you know, I think they're a defense that you can score on for sure. You know, we have to do things well, and we have to execute and things like that, but, you know, I anticipate this will probably be another high-scoring game, and offensively, we got to do enough just to keep us in, and defensively, we just got to try to limit him and understand that he's going to gain yards. You know, he's that good, and he's going to carry it enough that he's going to gain yards. We just can't get discouraged, and again, just keep playing the next play.
This is obviously a big game for your seniors, their last opportunity to play at home, but this is kind of a big moment for you as well. So what is this feeling like for you? This is the last time you coach these guys at home.
Yeah, you know, it's been a great group of seniors. It's 12 kids that have given really everything to our program and have accomplished so much here on the field and off the field. And you know, the cool thing about this group for me personally is it's the group that came in, kind of the first group we recruited after I was named head coach and kind of had the coaching change and things like that. And you know, those kids kind of bought into what we believed in and what our philosophy was. And you know, a lot of other kids probably weren't as willing to do that. You know, there's always a little bit of uncertainty when there's a new coach and there's a new situation and kind of a new staff coming in and just a new dynamic. And these guys bought in and have done, you know, like I said, a really good job on the field, but also off the field. They've been good students. They've been good community leaders, and their kids, they're going to go and do a lot of good things out in the world. And that's what's really cool to see is that the growth of these guys, and you know, you can talk about individual stories and things like that, but just the growth in these guys personally, and from where they came in to where they are now. And you know, we got guys that have already started nonprofit organizations that are looking forward to running with that. We've got guys that have had really impressive internships, and quite honestly, with this group of 12, there's a couple guys that I think even when they came to Lakeland probably didn't know if they were going to be guys that could be four-year college athletes or didn't know if they were going to be four-year college graduates. And to see the success that they've had and the work they put in, it's really cool.
That's incredible. Well, let's move on to fan questions. We start with Darren, who says, Coach, do you think the Muskies should add a tight end to change the look and options of the offense a little in the near future?
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, the staff, as we started looking to the future. Is that something that we want to look to? And I think we're open to all ideas. You know, I think we'll obviously evaluate things in the off season and see where we can get better on both sides of the ball and go from there. You know, I don't think we're necessarily closed off to any idea. You know, the biggest thing is we want to gain yards and score points. And if that means putting a tight end in the field, that means putting, you know, becoming a wishbone offense. You know, if that's the best way for us to win games and score points, that's what we'll do. So we'll look at it. You know, I think there's definitely some things that a tight end gives you. I think there's also the idea, and kind of the idea we've had in the past, we've been so talented at receiver, you know, putting a tight end on the field means taking one of those guys off the field. And that's always been our hesitation is, you know, we've had some really good athletes and, you know, is our number one tight end going to be as good as our number four receiver? You know, we played, you know, our first year in 2015 as a staff, we played a little bit with the tight end, probably 25% of our snaps. And then going forward, looking at, you know, 2016, we kind of looked and said, hey, we felt really good about our depth at receiver and thought we could get some of the same things by putting a fourth receiver on the field instead of putting a tight end. So you'll look at it, we'll evaluate it, and kind of decide if that's the direction we want to go.
Gary has a couple of questions for you, starting with, how do you improve the special teams?
Yeah, it's a great question. Like I said, it's been a struggle for us all year, and it's an area that we have to get better. It starts with really the kicking game. We have to recruit a kicker. We have a kicker on campus that we thought would be our kicker this year. He unfortunately wasn't eligible this season. Had some great issues, so we're expecting that he'll be back. But we'll look to recruit another kicker and look to really have some competition there. And that really, you know, everybody we've had that's kicked for us this year hasn't been a kicker, if that makes sense. It's been a guy that's been, you know, a defensive lineman or a linebacker or a, you know, different positions that have kicked for us or tried kicking for us, and it just hasn't worked out. They're not guys that have been trained to kick. They're not guys with great legs, and it's affected us. You know, we've been kicking the ball, you know, when we feel like we've gotten a good kick down to about the 15-yard line, and other times we've kicked it to the 25 or 30-yard line, and that's just not good enough at our level. As a result, we've given up a ton of field position, and that's been a struggle. You know, our punting game we felt better about. Kyle Erickson's a really talented punter. Unfortunately, he's only played in, I think, four games this year. Might have been three, but he had a concussion. We had a bad punt snap, and he, you know, went to recover the ball, took a pretty good shot, had a concussion, so he missed the game, and then he broke his leg. And some of that has been just freak accidents. Some of it is that we got to get better at long snapper, and we got to be more consistent with our snap game. We got to be quicker with it and just more consistent. So those are areas that we have to look to improve in recruiting. I don't think our issues have necessarily been schematic. It's been more personnel based. You know, again, our best long snapper on our roster is Logan O'Neill, and he obviously was our starting quarterback early in the year. So he didn't snap early in the year, and then as Tez started playing more at quarterback, Logan ended up getting hurt and hasn't been available. So we've been, again, trying to piece together the long snapping position, and you know, we have to recruit some guys that have that skill set rather than trying to teach guys on our roster that skill set. And I think that's going to be a huge focus for us in the offseason with recruiting.
A lot of puzzle pieces out there.
Absolutely.
Gary also says, I am sure you were happy with the running game, but do you think you need to get a more balanced attack with the passing game?
I think it helps. You know, I think we want to be more consistent throwing the football. You know, we're playing a lot of young receivers that I think are going to be really good players down the line, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later. You know, we'll bring back, with the exception of Jamal Hawkins-Gonnier, who's been out the last couple weeks with an injury, we'll bring back every receiver we've played this year, which is really exciting for us. You know, we're going to bring back our quarterbacks. We feel like they're going to get better and continue to get better. But, yeah, we have three more. You know, I think when you looked at us last year when we were, you know, setting conference records and, you know, among the national leaders in offense, we were really balanced. We could throw the ball. We could run the ball. We were kind of taking what teams gave us, and we haven't had that element this year. We haven't been nearly as consistent with our screen game, and a lot of what we do is trying to get the ball out quick to our receivers in the screen game, the bubble game, the spot screen game, and that has to get better. We have to be more physical on the outside. But I think, you know, week to week, game to game, you're looking to see what's the best strategy for us to win a game. And the last couple weeks, it's been, hey, we need to run the football and pound the run game. And at some point, you know, if we get into a situation where we have to throw the ball, that's where we have to be more balanced. And, you know, we've been fortunate the last couple of weeks we've been able to win without really throwing the football. You know, I think to get to the level we want to get to and get back to winning conference championships and competing at a national level, yeah, I think Gary's absolutely right. We have to get more balanced and we have to throw the ball better.
Jimmy says, did you see that crazy catch by the Dolphins a week ago? How cool was that?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I think you're seeing, you know, week in, week out, these guys making crazier catches, and you know, it seems like every week there's a guy that's making a really good one. So always exciting. You know, I think just these receivers and everything are so talented, and have such big hands and everything else. It's so much balance and stuff when they're up in the air, and you know, they're so much more talented. I think it starts that teams are throwing the ball at a much, much younger age now. Teams in youth football are really throwing it around. High school teams are throwing the ball all over the place, and these guys are so much better catching the football that it seems like every week you're seeing these crazy, crazy catches. So it's pretty exciting.
Next up is Stan, who says, it hurts that the Packers lost, but I can't believe that a player would anonymously go to the press to put Montgomery out on blast like that. What would you do as a coach if a player did that?
Yeah, I mean, you hope things stay in-house, obviously. You know, I think that's the biggest thing is you just want to constantly preach that, you know, we're not going to air our dirty laundry outside of, outside of our locker room. And, you know, we obviously don't have press and that kind of stuff, but you hope that stuff doesn't happen around campus. You know, you hope that a player isn't going to the dorms or, you know, in the cafeteria and talking about what another player did. And you just try to keep that stuff in-house. I think it starts with just constantly focus on, you know, being a family and keeping your problems internal. If you have issues, let's resolve them, you know, with each other rather than resolving them outside in the press or wherever it may be. So disappointing. Obviously, it was a pretty big mistake Montgomery made, and it sounds like it was potentially a deliberate mistake, which obviously isn't good from his standpoint. I think he got traded a couple days later, so the Packers solved the problem, I guess. But yeah, I think you constantly tell guys, you know, to keep it in house. And then if you do find out about a player that's leaking, that kind of stuff, I think you bring him in. And, you know, depending on the situation, there's different consequences. So, you know, I don't think there's a blanket penalty or solution. I think it depends on the situation and who the kid is that's airing it and what, you know, kind of what the, you know, what's being said. So, but not a good situation for sure.
Jerry says Ohio State has played really inconsistent this year. Do you think Urban Meyer's problems off the field are having an impact on the team?
Yeah, I think there's certainly some of that. You know, it seems like there's a team that's not really together. You don't know the internal struggles they're going through, but it seems like there's a little bit of a disconnect between him and the athletic director, or him and the university, and I'm sure that's affecting the players in the field. But this does not seem like they're a team that's really cohesive right now, and not a team that's played up their ability. So I think anytime you have the off-field stuff, as much as you say it isn't, it affects the team. It affects, you know, people in the program, and you try your best to shield them from that. But I think, you know, to be realistic, I'm certainly think it's probably affecting them.
Yeah, I'm interested off of your statement there, because you often hear that a player will talk about that the field is kind of their sanctuary from the outside world.
Yep.
But is that really true? I mean, can you get away from the cares of the world once you hit the field?
I think you can and you can. I think it depends a little bit on the kid or depends on the player. You know, some of them are better at doing that than others, but I think there's certainly, you know, we try to always tell kids the quote we use is just be where your feet are at. You know, so if you're on the practice field, you know, you can't solve a problem that happened in the classroom right now. You know, so you can't worry about it. You got to be where your feet are at. You got to keep your head where your feet are at, if that makes sense. But it's hard. You know, there's times that we'll know, you know, you'll see a player and he's at practice and you just know he's not engaged and there's something going on, whether it's back home to his family or it's in the classroom or it's with his girlfriend, and you can tell they're not engaged. And when you have, you know, 90 or 100 players, that happens more frequently than you like to think. And I think when they're all dealing with the same problem, sometimes it rallies the team together. You know, when you're all dealing with the same issue, whether it be a, you know, off the field thing within the program or, you know, something with the coach, sometimes it rallies you guys and sometimes it also splinters the team. So I think players try to say that's true, but I think, you know, being real and understanding that players have worries and they have stresses and stuff like that off of the field, it's really hard. It's really hard to say that we're going to come to football and all of a sudden all that, you know, the fact that mom's sick or the fact that, you know, I'm struggling with my school bill and owing money or whatever it is. I don't think that stress is just automatically goes away.
Ben says, after hearing your thoughts on bad pizza items, what makes for the perfect pizza?
That's a great question. I'm glad I've done one here. I think it's a sauce to cheese ratio. You know, I like my pizza a little bit more saucy, so I think a good sauce to cheese ratio is big. You know, the perfect pizza for me is more of a deep dish style pizza. I like some I got to cut with a fork and knife, but I can really, you know, I'll leave some thin crust as well. But I think a good sauce to cheese ratio is big. I think the topping ratio is big. You know, you want to have the right amount of toppings where it's not overwhelming the pizza, but it's still solid. And then I think just the quality of ingredients obviously makes a really good pizza. Sometimes you'll see, you know, I think with frozen pizzas especially, you'll see just the quality of ingredients isn't great sometimes. You know, the sausage isn't great. It's not as good as a better frozen pizza. But those are the big ones. You know, I think a nice crust, a nice buttery crust is good. We'll add that to the list. But there's a lot that goes into it. And there's, you know, the one thing I will say is there's really no bad pizza. There's pizza that's worse than other pizzas. But like a bad pizza is still better than a lot of other things I could put in my mouth. So I want to make sure that's very clear.
Do you have a favorite topping in particular?
I'm a sausage guy. So I think, you know, I think coming from Chicago, we're probably more of a sausage than we are a pepperoni town. So a good sausage is good. I'll also eat just a cheese pizza. I'm perfectly fine eating a pizza without sometimes I think you put too many toppings and you're trying to make your pizza a salad or and I don't support that at all. So I'll go with just a straight sausage or I'll go with just a straight cheese pizza are kind of my two go-tos.
Sean has a few questions for you. We start with, if you could go back in time, what era would you like to live in?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, we've talked about this. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at right now. Like, I don't imagine going back and living and really any, 200 years ago or something like that. I think some of the comforts I have right now in my life, I don't want to lose. Really interested in kind of the 30s and 40s, kind of that World War II time. I'm not sure I want to live in that era. I certainly don't want to get drafted to a war. Certainly don't want to live through a depression or anything like that. But I think as far as an interesting time in history, if I was going to go back and study or be able to go back and experience it without losing some of the comforts I have now, that would probably be an era I'd be really interested in. But I think some of it, I think people glorify previous generations or previous times in history, and we have it pretty good right now as it is. You know, I can't imagine living without a cell phone. You know, little things like that. I don't know. I think some of it. I think we glorify things after their past, and they really weren't as great as maybe we think they were. So I'll say where I'm at. But I think as far as like what I'm interested in, I think that kind of that World War II era is kind of the era that I'd be interested in.
I'm with you. Anything that didn't have air conditioning is a bad error, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Little things like that you take for granted all the time. It's like, that's pretty good.
Sean would like to know, what skill would you like to be a master at?
I don't know if I have one off the top of my head that I really want to be good at. I don't think I have one for this one. I'd have to give that some thought. I feel pretty good about the things that I'm good at, and there's also a lot of things that I'm not good at. You know, I can't cook. I don't really want to be a good cook. I'm fine with that. The frozen pizza cooks itself primarily. So I think I'm good there. But there's not a whole lot of things that I really desire to be better at. And I don't say that to be arrogant, but there's just not a lot of things that I, want to be better at that I'm not good at. You know, I don't have a ton of, I don't want to learn karate or anything like that. I don't want to, I don't really have one that I can think of off the top of my head.
Sean would lastly ask, what age would you want to live to?
I mean, I'll go to 100. I feel pretty good about the fact that I'm going to be a pretty, pretty vibrant, senior citizen. And I think with our technology and medical advances, I don't see why I couldn't live to 100. So, let's go 100. I think after that we'll see, but I think up to 100, I feel like I'm gonna be active. I'm gonna be get stuff done. So let's go 100.
An anonymous fan wanted to know if you're a romantic guy.
You'd have to ask my wife this one. She would probably say emphatically no. So I struggle in this area. I probably need to remember to send some flowers from time to time because I'm not very good with that kind of stuff. So I'm not. I wouldn't say that this is one of my strengths. So maybe this is a skill. Maybe this is a skill that I should master is being more romantic. But my wife Brenda would certainly say a pretty emphatic no. So I'm gonna have to go with her response.
James says, "Hope your kids got you a good haul of candy."
Yeah, it was. They did a nice job. They went out yesterday with my wife. Obviously, we had practice, so she took them out, and they did a solid job. You know, I think overall, kids are just a little bit softer these days. You know, we were talking in the office this morning. You know, we used to go out for about 3 or 4 hours trick-or-treating, and it was just, you didn't stop. You stopped when you couldn't see anymore, and the streetlights were on, and you were told that, Halloween was over. But kids nowadays, I feel like they go for about an hour, and they feel pretty good about it. I don't know what the strategy is. I think maybe we got to stop buying our kids candy so the only time they get it is for Halloween, and then they're a little bit more motivated. Maybe there's too much candy in the house as it is, but they did a solid job. I give them a solid B probably for a grade. The one thing I'll say is they were very happy with it, so Colton and Cannon came back, and they were very proud of themselves. And I think it just talks a little bit to their expectations kind of the times. Like I said, I think we used to come back with about twice as much candy. At least that's the way I remember it. So Good effort, not great.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this. I saw a story on the news last night that in New York, Reese's put up a bunch of vending machines so kids who didn't get candy they wanted, they could throw the candy they didn't like, and Reese's would give them peanut butter cups or something. I was thinking, come on, you're supposed to get candy you don't like. That's part of the whole deal.
That's absolutely right. I think, you get enough Ditto Honeys and you get the Mounds bars and stuff like that. And, usually it's about mid-November and you end up and you're looking back at the Halloween candy and you got nothing that you want to eat, but it's all you have left. And you know your parents aren't going to buy you any candy. Probably till Christmas is next time you're getting candy as a kid. So you're left with the choice of whether or not you want to eat, the 10th thing of candy corn, or if you want to just go without candy. So that's part of it. It's part of learning to ration your good candy. And, if you're smart, you're probably hiding some of the good candy, so it's not in the family bucket. But, I don't know if I support that idea that the kids just get to trade in the bad candy. And plus, I think there needs to be a little bit of shame for these people that are giving away the bad candy. You know who you are. You know you're going cheap. You're not buying a name brand candy. Like, there needs to be a little bit of shame. If the kids are just able to trade the candy in, I don't know if we're shaming these people like we should be.
Yeah, sweet tarts only go so far. I'm sorry.
But, absolutely. Terrible.
Janet says, Coach, it was National Cat Day on Tuesday. We know you celebrated.
I did not know this. Terrible day. There's too many national days for, like, everything has a national day now. Like, we don't need to be celebrating cats on a Tuesday, in October. Like, it makes no sense. Can't support this at all. Cats are terrible. End of conversation.
Janet still has one more for you, though. She says, Coach, if a bunch of cats jump on each other, do you still call it a dog pile?
I guess, yeah. I think that's still a dog pile. A bunch of cats jumping on each other means there's a lot of cats in one location, which is the place that I definitely don't want to be. So haven't seen this one. Haven't seen the cats jumping on each other, but we'll call it a dog pile. Hopefully a dog comes and ends this lunacy and runs through the cat pile. I think there's a – when I grew up, there was a little bit where you thought cats and dogs hated each other. This idea that, like, cats and dogs couldn't get along. And now you see all these people that have both cats and dogs, and it kind of bothers me. I feel like you got to pick a side. You're either a cat person or you're a dog person. There should be nobody in the middle. These dogs and cats shouldn't be getting along. I'm all for the people that are, diversity and all that. I love it. But with cats and dogs, we got to keep them separate.
Andy says, how cool would you look riding across campus on a red Vespa?
Oh God, I don't know how cool that. Me and Andy's definition of cool might be a little different. I don't see myself on a Vespa or anything like that. I don't see me doing that. I don't think I'd look very cool. So again, I think our definition of cool might be a little different. But I'm going to go no on this one.
I'll tell you truthfully, if you were looking cool on it, you'd be the only person ever who did. So
that's probably correct. Yep.
And why is it good to be a Muskie?
Well, it's a great day on Saturday. Like I said earlier, 12 seniors we get a chance to recognize. And then we get a chance to really, see where our program is at. We're playing a team that is most likely going to be the conference champion, most likely going to be our conference representative in the playoffs. And we get a chance to play them and really see where we're at as a program and just see how far we've come. And it's going to be a great challenge for our guys. I expect that we're going to respond and be really ready to play on Saturday, and that's my hope and my expectation is that we're going to play really hard and really together and, try. We've had a lot of wonderful moments the last 4 years with this senior class on our home field and kind of ran through some of them yesterday with the guys and just all the great memories. And we get a chance to add one more, and that's exciting for us.
That's awesome. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
We want to thank Coach Bruton for joining us on Muskies Matters this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Lakeland coach, please send them to us at ColinBruton@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ColinBruton@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Tuesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Muskies Matters.